Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right. How about that? Happy birthday, Mike Evans. It's Mike Evans' birthday, people.
Yes, it is.
Is this the big 5-0? Is this the big 5-0?
Yeah.
I'm a little fella.
Oh, man. Is it true? 50's the 40. What is it?
50's the new 40.
50's the new 40?
Yeah, you look goodish.
Goodish.
Yeah, you look goodish.
I'll take goodish.
Yeah.
I'll take
it. You don't look great.
Yeah, well.
But you don't look terrible.
Right.
You look goodish.
All right, I'll take it.
No,
you passed that marker, what?
A couple years ago.
A couple years ago?
Yeah.
You, look at you, benching 225, 26 times.
Yeah, I'm somewhat of a freak. You know. Yeah, freaking nature. I don't even like to talk about it. You guys know that.
Good.
You guys know that. No, seriously, happy birthday
to you, man.
Thank you.
Big Johnny in here this morning. Very early.
Yeah.
I've never seen him up this early.
Who knew?
Johnny, you know, puts all kinds of stuff out there on our website, 1043thefan.com, hard at work.
I think he pulled an all-nighter.
Well, he's probably going over. He loves pouring through numbers, and he's probably pouring through all those awful numbers from the Rockies pitching staff over the weekend.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Whew. What? Is this thing going to be fixed? Look, they are 11-16 at home this year. They have yet to win a home series. We keep saying, they'll get it going. This can't continue. I don't know, Mark, can it?
Well, first, you know, interestingly enough, as you know, talking to some of my baseball buddies and talk about symmetry, the symmetry of the game and how you have to have everything clicking. And, you know, that's one thing they have had none of. There hasn't been any, in football, we always talk about complementary football. There's not been any complementary baseball. So they're struggling at the dish and they're pitching. They've been lights out pitching. Then all of a sudden, you know, John Gray falls apart at the top end of the rotation. And then, you know, then all of a sudden they start to hit well. You're like, Trevor Story is in the 250s, and he's much better about not striking out, and he's playing better, and Desmond has raised his batting average some, and he's starting to hit the ball a little bit better, and they're starting to come around at the dish, and now their bullpen is just falling apart, the middle part of that bullpen, with the acquisition of Shaw, and, you know, Chris Russell, who was so good last year, and, you know, and, Mike Dunn, who's falling apart, and it just is... Even like it's almost contagious. Like there's a sickness. Even Wade Davis comes in and blows it last night. So it just is a hard thing to watch as a Rockies fan, and to let the Dodgers, who have their own issues, come in here and sweep you, and you fall out of first place. Mike, you asked me on Friday, is this sustainable? Do you see them winning this division? And I hemmed and hawed, and you kept pushing me on it, and then I finally said no. And you know what? And then they roll in here this weekend and get swept. Just a bad, bad look.
Yeah, and Bud Black, I love Bud. You love Bud. Bud loves you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But he said afterwards there was a, hey, nothing to see here, no reason to panic. This is just a small snippet, his word, small snippet.
Sure.
Out of 162 games. No, it's not. Because what you had here was a weekend series against a team that is down and you want to keep down. And you had the big crowds. You had to use this series, use this homestand as a way to send a message to everybody that, look, we're here. We're going to start to, if anything, we're going to start to separate ourselves from the rest of the National League West. Instead, what you did over the course of 3 days was you let everybody back into play. Yeah. In fact, you let everybody back into play to the point where you lost your lead while you were losing now 4 in a row. Arizona's won 3 in a row, so Arizona's back in front by a game and a half. The Giants are just a game behind the Rockies. The Dodgers are just a game behind the Rockies. Heck, the Padres are only 4 games back behind the Rockies. So that's what's disappointing is, and you can't just blow it off as, well, it's a small snippet. No, because you let the entire division, and more importantly, let the Dodgers.
Right.
You know, the Dodgers are a team that will take a while to kind of figure things out or wake themselves up. You don't want them to have to wake up on your watch. You know what I mean? Because right. You allowed them. Because yeah. You woke them up.
You don't want to be the catalytic series that wakes the sleeping giant up and gets them going. Now you have to go to Cincinnati. You've got to go play Cincinnati. And didn't Cincinnati win a series here earlier this season? I believe they did here in Colorado. Yeah, they won 2 of 3 in Colorado. That was May 25th, 26th, and 27th. They won 5-4. They lost 6-5. They won 8-2. So now you're going into Cincinnati, and then you come back here in the division versus Arizona on the weekend series. I mean, Mike, I understand nothing to see here, and I understand I understand baseball. I understand that, you know, the marathon nature of baseball, and I understand Bud Black and what he's doing. This nothing to see here wasn't for us. And it wasn't for, you know, Rocky fan driving around I-25 right now. You know what it was for? It was for his own team. Yeah, it was trying to, hey, guys, calm down. It's all right. I believe in you. But think about Bud Black's position right now. Your starter gets you through, let's say, 5 2/3, and he's pitched pretty well, but he gets himself in a little bit of trouble. Who do you trust? Ottavino's on the DL.
Right.
I mean, literally, in that bullpen right now, who do you trust?
There's nobody. There's nobody right now. Listen to some of the ERAs. And I get it. ERA doesn't mean everything. But it's been around for as long as baseball's been around, so it's a pretty good indicator. But, I mean, these are the ERAs of the Rockies relievers. Mike Dunn, 8.04. Chris Russell. What's happened to Chris Russell? 7.43. Brian Shaw, 6.59. Jake McGee, 5.14. Scott Oberg, 4.50. You know, even Wade Davis, you know, is up around, you know, 3.38. And for a closer,
right,
who's only working, you know, ninth innings typically and starts off usually with clean innings, that's an awful ERA.
Yeah. And I'll tell you the other thing that's interesting about closers, and I think it's the mentality you get in. But this is the quandary you're in if you're the Rockies. He comes in a 7-7 ball game last night and gives it up. Now, that's a hold situation. It's not a save situation. And it just goes to show you that Bud Black's hands are tied. Like, I've got to go to my closer at this point in the game to try to make sure that we remain 7-7 because we got the last at-bat at home and we're trying to scrap out a run somehow, some way.
John Gray was going to pitch in relief.
Yeah.
If they had gone to extra innings.
So, and that's the situation, again, that points to you do not like to take your closer. You do not like to put them in those situations because oftentimes they're not as sharp. You know, those guys get to the point where they thrive on, I gotta make sure I maintain this one-run lead. They thrive in those situations, and you get them out of that. And sometimes you have to because you haven't used them in a few days, and it's one of those things. But typically, you watch any closer come in a non-save situation, and they're not very good. Last night, I'm watching after the NBA Finals, I'm watching Houston, and Ken Giles comes in a non-save situation. He just needed to pitch. He hadn't pitched in a while. And, you know, this is a guy that he's got an unbelievable slider at about 86, 87. He's got a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. And Boston is just absolutely BP. Like, they're just crushing him. And he's not in his typical situation, his safe situation. And that's part of that position. And you see it across the board with every closer who comes in a non-safe situation. And very rarely do they look sharp.
All right, Rockies fans, so I'll throw it out there. Give us your reaction, your thoughts on this on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. We're 27 home games into the season here. Are you confident that this thing is going to turn around at home? They're 11-16 at home. So is that something that will turn around? 303-713-1043. Broncos OTA picks up again today. What will be the key storylines? We'll tell you coming up next. Broncos OTA picks up again today. 4 days they'll be out there this week. And then they'll have a mandatory mini camp. I don't know. OTA this week, mini camp next week.
Right.
Mandatory. I don't know what the difference is, but...
Well, the OTAs are voluntary.
Uh-huh.
And the mini camps are mandatory.
But since everybody's here...
Right. Well, they're mandatory voluntary. Voluntary right. mandatory. Unless you're like Tom Brady.
Right.
Unless...
Then you'd have an issue. Then you see the differences between OTA and minicamp, mandatory minicamp.
But nobody here is revolting against management.
Does that count for something? The fact that all hands are on deck right now, that nobody is saying, nah, I don't need to be here. Don't worry, I'll be there in June. Or, you know, right. The fact that everybody seems to be pulling in the same direction right now. How much does that matter?
I think it matters. Obviously, all these things are great. There's goodwill there. I think the thing that's been interesting, Mike, is the admission without admitting. You know, the organization admitted this offseason through free agency and through the draft that they haven't done a very good job in free agency and the draft. So there's an admission there by a changing of the philosophical approach. There's an admission. You don't have to come out and say, hey, we're sorry, we've really screwed this thing up. You've said all you need to say by the direction you went in. And so that, to me, says a lot about the organization. All the guys showing up, everybody here, very disappointed. The bad taste left in their mouth last year by 5-11, the 8 straight losses, the blowout losses, the embarrassing performance, both as players and coaches. There's an admission there that it wasn't good enough. It was bad. And we're going to try to rectify that. Now, ultimately, you got to go out and you got to win games, and the quarterback is going to help you do that. But there are some other areas that we've talked about at length on this program that we just won't know until we start seeing production during the season.
All right, so is the softness gone? Okay, we all remember the now infamous remark by John Elway where he came out and said the team had gotten a little soft.
Right. And then he clarified, and then he hemmed and hawed,
doesn't matter. The message was delivered.
Right.
Okay?
On your mind, out your lips.
Right.
That was like, what's the old saying about when you're drinking, like the truth comes out?
Right.
You know, that was the truth serum. Not that he was drinking, but I'm just saying he was so pissed off that it just, you know, sometimes when you're mad like that, it's like that true serum. You get really mad and then it falls out of your mouth and it's honest. And that was the honest feeling by John, is that we're soft.
Okay. So do you get a sense that the softness is gone?
I don't know that you'll really know that.
You got a lot of people.
Yeah.
Think about it. And where I'm going at with this, is that you've got, everywhere I look around this football team, I see people with things to prove.
Right.
Even with this defense now, even this once vaunted defense is in a position where they're no longer what they once were. And that if your guys like Derek Wolf and Chris Harris Jr. and you're part of the, it's kind of getting scary with a few remaining guys
right.
that are part of this defense or were part of this defense when they won the Super Bowl, you've got something to prove too. So everywhere I look on this football team, coaching staff all the way,
right.
Case Keenum, everybody has something to prove. And I like a team that's in that situation. There are no right. fat cats on this team. There should be no soft attitudes on this team.
You're 100% right. No fat cats. Everybody's got something to prove. I think it's a good point. There should be, you know, there should be ample chips on everybody's shoulder. And every guy should be out there ready to roll, but ready to kind of reestablish and reprove himself. I just think that's a very interesting question. Like, my first thought is, who has the most to prove? Because think about this. Case Keenum signed a free agent contract, paying him $18 million a year. This guy's been nothing more than a journeyman. He had a great season last year. He was making $2-3 million, whatever it was. I think it was $2 million last year. And he comes here And the whole narrative as he walks off the, you know, walks off the plane is, well, he's never been anything more than a journeyman. Can he repeat last year's performance? Does he have enough weapons around him to repeat? Because he's, you know, he had an exceptional team last year. I mean, there's nothing but yeah buts when you talk Case Keenum. So that guy should be incredibly motivated, regardless of the money he got. You know, the life changing
$2 million, by the way, last year.
$2 million. So the life changing money that he got. You know, so there's a ton to prove there. Derek Wolfe coming off the neck injury, ton to prove there. Chris Harris Jr. Hey, Bradley Roby. Can you replace Aqib Talib and be, you know, can you be the guy that we drafted you to be? Von Miller, sacks were down last year. You got we brought you help in with Bradley Chubb. Bradley Chubb, you're the best defensive player in this year's draft. We can't believe we got you. You're smart. You're tough. You were a team captain. You're unrelenting in your effort. Can you repeat that? And oh, by the way, our expectations, if you want something to prove, we expect double-digit sacks because you're opposite Von Miller. Like, there's a million. Hey, Valdir, can you prove that you can play right tackle and stay healthy? Hey, Ronald Leary, can you come and solidify the left side? Garrett Bowles, can you stop making so many penalties and can you start to learn to play the game efficiently? I mean, Jake Butt, can you be a real tight end?
Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, we just went out and drafted your replacements. How are you going to react to that?
Right. I mean, you think about you know, all the little slogans they have, right? What's this year's slogan that was, you know, accountability or?
Accountability.
Accountability. They have a different T-shirt slogan.
Like, if I see a guy without a hoodie on, you know, I'm going to let him know. You know, you better get a hoodie on.
Like, prove it. Right? Chips. Estrada. That's what they should have, an Estrada T-shirt.
Oh, geez,
chips on your shoulder, no, Estrada, you got to prove it.
I get it, you get it. Not everybody gets that.
Ben is looking at me like, what is he talking about?
You know,
Chips was awesome.
Who cares?
Then they tried that lame movie remake of it.
Oh, yeah, with
Dak.
Is it Dak?
Dax, whatever.
It's Dak Shepard.
Yes, awful.
He's married to that one lady.
Yes, Kristen Bell.
Yes.
Anyway.
She seems nice.
She's
she does seem nice. Like, some celebrities look like they're faking like they're nice.
I was just about ready to move on, and you're like, she seems nice.
She just seems like she's nice. I don't know.
But that's what I like about it. Because even with this team struggling over the last couple of years, you had the defense could sort of stand back and say, yeah, well.
Yeah, that's all right.
Not on us.
Right.
Not our fault. It's that stupid offense over there.
Right.
But even they can't do that now. They have to have a chip on their shoulder as well.
I think it's a good position to be in. Honestly, I do.
Yes, absolutely. All right, here comes the morning brew. Are the NBA finals over? Did Cleveland have their one chance? And is it more now about who LeBron James will be playing for next year? That's next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to heat lightning and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
Shift is on, and this drive is to left field, opposite way. Desmond's going back. He's going to look up, and it is gone. For Max Muncy, 0-for-4 in this series, but getting the starting nod at first base today and showing why. It's his 8th home run, his 20th RBI.
That was Dodgers radio right there. That was a killer at bat, by the way, because the Rockies were up 6-1. Chad Bettis was off to a decent start. And there were two outs, two on, and this guy, Muncy, put together an outstanding at-bat. He, like, fouled off 5 or 6 two-strike pitches.
Yeah.
And then Bettis left one over the plate, and the guy hit one into the upper deck, and then it was 6-4. And that, you could kind of tell after that point, oh, boy, we're in for a grind, and it ended up being another loss. For the Rockies, who have lost 4 in a row, get swept at home by the Dodgers, giving up 11, 12, and 10 runs in the process. And now they've fallen back out of first place. The whole division is clustered up. Bud Black said after the game, hey, relax. This is just a small snippet. His words, small snippet. Three games of 162. Is it really that, though?
No, it keeps coming down to this for me. It's they get one thing rolling, another thing falls apart. That thing gets fixed, another thing falls apart. They have not played, you know, symmetrical baseball. They haven't played complementary baseball. They haven't done that all season long. And, you know, you're rolling out to Cincinnati, who beat you in a series here at home.
Actually, the Rockies did win that series. They did take 2 out of 3.
Oh, the
Rockies did take 2 out of 3.
The Cincinnati series did?
They did.
Oh, never mind then. Scratch that, but they're still going out to Cincinnati, and now then they have to come home. I read that wrong. They have to come home, and they got to place the Diamondbacks, who now have overtaken them in first place. And remember now, the Diamondbacks started off hot, and then they came back down. They had their own issues. They seem to be playing better right now. It just is like you've got to fix this bullpen right now. Bud Black is just like praying for somebody to go 7 2/3, you know, because. He doesn't have a matchup I don't think he feels comfortable with out of the bullpen right now. Like every guy he brings in goes, oh, here we go. Please.
Yeah, but the Rockies, well, we could talk more about this tomorrow when they pick up again with the series because they're out today. But, you know, the Rockies have been babying their young pitchers so much, which is not just them. Everybody does it in baseball. But they've been babying that they've never really pushed their starters to go much more than 6 innings.
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying. You could really use a guy, you know, a Verlander-type performance. Hey, go out and give me 8, will you?
Right.
They don't have a guy to do that.
That's
None
true.
Of them have been conditioned to do that. Next on the Morning Brew.
Curry for 3 from the left hash mark, and the lead is 21. 33 for Curry, 9 of 17.
He has made the same number of threes that the entire Cavs team has made. 9.
Warriors radio, man, Steph Curry, when he gets it going, he puts up some of the most ridiculous, are you kidding me? That has no chance. Oh, it did go in. When he gets into that zone, he is amazing to watch. He got into it there in the third and fourth quarter, blew the game open. The Warriors win going away. They're up 2 games to none. I said on Friday after game one that I thought that the series was over because the Cavs had blown their best chance to win this series. People were like, no, it's only one game, blah, 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 blah. Come on now. Are you with me now?
Are you
with me?
Yeah.
Could you still feel the hangover effect of game one for Cavs in game two?
Absolutely, and I was watching all the pregame stuff and guys, you know, my former colleagues at ESPN, Jalen Rose, and even Chauncey Billups are like, hey, man, this is going to be, you know, retribution, and J.R. Smith has had these troubles before, you know, and he's come back. Oh, my Lord. I just, like, I'm with you. When they started chanting MVP when he was at the foul line early in the game,
I was laughing.
Like, this is rich. This is so good. And I asked my wife who she was rooting for, and my wife said she's rooting for the Steph Currys.
That's how she refers to them?
Yeah. She didn't know who they were, but she's like, I want the Steph Curry team. The Steph Currys, that's who I want.
She likes Steph?
I think she likes his wife more and the parents more.
They show them a lot.
Yeah.
They get a lot of airtime.
They certainly do. She thinks they're cute. So
Cleveland needs to win 4 of the next 5 games.
Yeah.
You give them any shot?
No.
No.
Like, if Chip and Joanna Gaines were playing, she'd be rooting for the Chip and Joanna, the
Gaineses?
Yeah, she'd be rooting for the Gaineses. She thinks they're cute.
Who's Chip and Joanna Gaines?
What is that? The home improvement show.
Are they a couple that does, like...
Yes. Yeah.
Restore houses and
Magnolia
stuff?
Is their company. Magnolia. Oh, really? What is the name of that? Oh, my gosh. Now, my wife makes me watch it all the time. Love it. It's phenomenal.
We'll effort. Next.
Okay, somebody give me that.
Next on the Morning Bro.
Case is getting exclusively all the reps with the ones. We're not splitting them like you would if you didn't have an established starter. So he's getting more concentrated work, and it's paying dividends.
All right, so that's Bill Musgrave. As we move into the next stage of the Broncos' springtime here, their 4-day OTA that begins today. Where are we at in the Case Keenum progression of this offense? Where Where are we at now in terms of how much has been put in?
Right.
You know, what's the time frame right now with that?
Well, all your base stuff, all your core stuff has been put in. And, you know, both in the run game and the pass game. So whatever you're going to be, you know, I'm assuming they're going to go back to a lot more zone type of blocking schemes. So a lot of that stuff, all the boot keep stuff off of that. And then once you put all that in, then you'll start focusing more on, like, nickel situations, more situational football. So you want to put your base in first. You know, it's like building a home. You know, you prepare the ground, then you pour the footings, then you put down your base. You put down your foundation. And that's what they've been doing. And now you start to kind of build the rest of the building out. So their foundation is in, and now we're going to put in the, you know, this room and that room and, you know, this nickel situation, this short yardage goal line situation. This is what we want to do on in third down and longs or second down and longs. So that's what they start to work on.
Next on the Morning Brew.
It's a finishing par. Down 72. You see Tiger was 2 under through 5. He plays 2 over. The remaining 13 holes, and once he failed to get up and down for birdie at 7, it wasn't the same.
He didn't look relaxed today.
CBS there with the call, as once again, Tiger teased us over the weekend at the Memorial, a tournament that he has dominated over the years, but that was a long time ago, especially after he went 67 on Friday, 68 on Saturday. There was talk that, you know, hey, this could be his moment, but then he faded with a 72, and finished in a tie for 23rd and lamented the fact that he couldn't make any putts. Well, isn't that where we're at right now with Tiger Woods? He'll give us those flashes, but he just can't put four rounds together. And they're always, you talk about the Rockies not playing complimentary baseball. It's the same thing with Tiger. 1 week, he just can't find the fairway. And then another tournament, the putter let him down. Well, isn't that the lament of every golfer who finds themselves finishing in a tie for 23rd, you know, 6 shots back.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, oh, by the way, I think he missed 7 putts inside of 5 foot. 7 putts. So he makes those 7 putts. The average on the tournament was missing just slightly over 1 5-foot putt. He missed 7. So he puts those 7 in, and he wins the tournament. But you're 100% right. He's playing Rockies baseball right now. If it's not, hey, one thing's going good, the next thing falls apart. They fix that, and something else falls apart. And, you know, he keeps talking about the process this, the process that, it's the process. If he puts it all together, Mike, he'll be right back on top, which would be so, it'd be, like, for golf, it'd be phenomenal.
Thanks to all the people on the Ramoslaw.com text line, Fixer Upper.
I can't believe I forgot that.
I swear, you know, the great thing about our text line, it's like our very own Google machine. Anything we want to know.
Right.
All we have to just say, it's like asking Alexa. Just say, yes. Text line, please. What is the show that stars the Gaineses? And we get answers.
Right.
It's beautiful.
It is a gorgeous thing,
it's
right?
It's a gorgeous thing. Just gorgeous.
Text line, what is... Text line stop. Text line on. I like it.
All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Hey, something that Bill Musgrave just said there, I want to get into a little bit more why there is such optimism, or should be optimism, for this Broncos offense this season. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Case is getting exclusively all the reps with the ones. We're not splitting them like you would if you didn't have an established starter. So he's getting more concentrated work, and it's paying dividends.
Boy, that quote from Bill Musgrave just makes me smile. Case is getting all the number one reps. There is no splitting like we've had to go through the last couple of years. There'll be no preseason week, which will be designed to give the runner-up in the competition one last Hail Mary hope to try to win the job.
Right.
So, as an offensive guy, especially as an offensive lineman, just quantify for me. How much of a difference does it make, will it make, for this offense from the jump, day one, knowing that this is the guy that's getting all the meaningful work?
It's huge because it allows you as a player to develop and fit into the rhythm of the way the system is being called by the coaches. So now when you take your number one reps, you're taking them with the number one guy who honestly is falling into and developing his leadership role. And you talk to the guys. I have not been out to practice, but you've been out there. D-Mac's been out there. Cecil's been out there. A lot of guys have been out there talking about how Case Keenum is in control. Like, he gets people in the right spot. Like, I can't remember who was telling me, but, like, one of the receivers was saying something to me. He was like, he basically like, hey, no, shut up. I'm in charge here, you know, and those weren't his words, but you know what I'm saying. He was in charge. So when you have that continuity, developing that identity is important, and you know where you fit in. You're not sitting there on your heels wondering, oh, is this quarterback? You know, I got the next quarterback, different cadence. Does he see we're supposed to check into this? You know, all those different things that you kind of go through while you're calling plays, while you're executing plays, while you're practicing, now you do it with a purpose. And your purpose is to come together, as congeal the right word, as an offense. That is right, isn't it, Wordsmith?
Congeal is fine. Gel.
Mm-hmm.
Other words, continuity.
Right.
Fine continuity.
Right.
But yeah,
right.
Congeal is good.
Congeal.
I tend to think of congeal like a, you know, like a cut. You know, the blood congealed.
Oh, okay. So,
you know.
Yeah, but it's still kind of.
Or like, you know, hey, can somebody give me a spoon to stir this gravy because it looks all congealed on top? And then it's not as appetizing looking, you know?
Right. So you want that to scab over. You want that blood to get like that, you're off.
Yes, I want the cut to scab over, but I don't want my gravy to scab over.
Nobody likes scabby gravy.
No.
That would be gross.
Continue.
So this offense needs to gel, and I think I think for you as a player, forget about the quarterback. When you establish your quarterback and you know exactly who that guy is, and then you're taking reps, you know, a lot of reps with that particular guy, it allows you to become comfortable in the offense, to be comfortable. And I tell you this all the time. The rhythm of offense is incredibly important. Everything is done on rhythm. And you know, you brought up the word continuity. When you lack that continuity of one guy being the focal point, then you know what ends up happening to you is you don't have that gelling together, because it is, you know, it's hit and miss. It's constantly different. That's a tough way to play the game. And so that part allows you as an individual player, whether it's receiver, tight end, whatever, it allows you to focus on you and not focus on, oh, who's in now.
But I think here's where I kind of laid a little bit of a trap, though, for you.
Oh, you're so smart.
Okay?
He's so smart.
Yeah. I got you talking about how, oh, this is going to be great for the offense, and it's one guy, and blah, 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 blah. Well, even with all of the back and forth, hey, it's Trevor's day. Tomorrow it's Paxton's day. It's Paxton's week. All that stuff. Even with all that uncertainty that went on during the preseason, during training camp, the Broncos did still come out offensively in the first 2 weeks last year and looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They were 2-0. They scored 24 and 42 points. They had incredible balance. They had 219 yards passing and 140 yards rushing against the Chargers, followed up by 231 yards passing and 178 yards rushing against the Cowboys. So, at least at the start of the season, they weren't hurt by the back and forth nature of their quarterback search.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to have continuity
right
off the bat. So
easy.
How is this different?
Okay, so it's much easier to have continuity when you're running the ball. What happened when all of a sudden they started dropping back 46 times a game? you start, you're relying on too much on your quarterback, who's still a young quarterback. You're putting your offensive line, who is really a weak link. So by running the ball the way they ran the ball in the first 2 weeks, you covered some warts up front. And you, by the way you called games, you exposed those warts. And so that goes on coaching. And you're right, they came out and they played pretty well as a unit in general. Of course, the defense, because they were possessing the ball, the defense played good. They were creating turnovers. They were, you know, they were giving them short fields. All those things, all that complimentary type of football. But I'm just like, all I'm saying is that continuity is important. It helps you work on you.
Well,
you know what I mean.
Is the bright side of it all then that with one guy getting all the reps through the spring and the summer, that you will have a clearer idea of what that identity is coming into the season, and that you'll be less likely to deviate from it.
Well, that and from a coaching standpoint, right now, I believe you don't have a guy that's thinking about becoming the next head coach somewhere. And, you know, I think Mike McCoy got caught up, you know, regardless of what he says, and I haven't heard him speak to this, but you had to know there were going to be a bunch of changes. And if you could come out and have great offensive production with a third-year, seventh-round draft pick, you would be on the forefront of everybody's coaching list. It's just the way it is. And he certainly, you know, he certainly wanted that.
You're going to clear the air.
Yes, I am.
It's that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What do you got?
You know, it's an interesting question. It's a very interesting question.
You need an assignment, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I want you to clear the air about whether or not this Rockies team that has now let the entire division into play, including the Dodgers, if they're ever going to fix this home record thing, 11-16.
Okay.
If it's ever going to be fixed this year. All right?
It's got to be done.
All right. You tell us how. Clear the air next.